Hey guys, it's Mackie. And since the Judd's Hockey Show crew doesn't let me actually come on their show and spew my hockey takes, I'm here to tell you about one of my favorite companies, Federated Mutual Insurance Company, which is all about helping your business reach new levels of success through risk management. Find out more about how Federated can help protect your business at federatedinsurance.com. Federated, where it's our business to protect yours.
Hockey! Yeah.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
About our business, and we're down to 5D. Wittsburg, you play 4 minutes. So, I mean, I think our forwards protected the D, but I think our D did a real good job as well, obviously playing out of position, playing more minutes. So, it's just a real good all-around game. We just talked that we did so many really good things in that hockey game, allowed us to have that opportunity at the end.
Dino.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
We good there?
Hello.
We good?
We're good.
All right.
Hello.
Dino Evason.
Monday, baby.
Yeah, it is Monday. It's a gloomy Monday, but it's not gloomy if you're a Wild fan. Judd's Hockey Show. Welcome to it. Zolgad, Declan Goff. Plenty to get to, so let's get right to it. We'll talk about Jarrett Spurgeon. We'll talk about the injuries, but let's get off on a good note here because that was a very impressive come-from-behind 5-4 win last night by your Wild in Nashville. It ends a six-game losing streak against Nashville. Now, unfortunately, the St. Louis Blues, like the Wild, can't lose. So they beat the Ducks in Anaheim last night. And so these two teams going into the last week of the season, Declan Goff, are tied at 109 points apiece. The Blues have two games left. The Wild this week has three games left. The Blues will play at Colorado on Tuesday and versus Vegas on Friday, and that is very well going to be a game in which the Golden Knights have nothing left to play for. I think they'll be toast by then.
Yeah.
The Wild's got Arizona on Tuesday, Calgary on Thursday, and Colorado on Friday. But I want to start with a win last night, which ends on a Dmitry Kulikov overtime goal with, 1.3 seconds left. Eric Sinek did all of the work to make that play. It was absolutely a great play. And I think that that win in overtime at Nashville sort of, Declan, encapsulates the resiliency of this club. The fact that they lost Spurgeon, the fact that they're playing without a fairly long list now of guys who are important to their success, and they don't go away. Mm-hmm. They just come back at you. Things might not be going great. I mean, it's all the things that I generally have despised about this team. They now are doing right.
Right. Yeah.
Like it's the complete polar opposite. Things go wrong and they're like, oh, okay, we'll deal. This is where I think playing like this late in the season, even with a playoff spot wrapped up, becomes extremely important, because the thing I really like about this team is their identity. And right now, unless it changes drastically, and hopefully it won't for their sake in the playoffs, I think that identity is really established as a team that is going to, with any amount of adversity in its face, continue to battle. And I can't say that of all sports teams.
No, they don't really get complacent like former Wild teams do, or even like a lot of hockey teams do. Mm-hmm. Once you get that playoff spot and get comfortable. No, they continue to find ways to win even when they're without four key players and out their lineup last night. And, you know, Bukestad has to move up to a top line role and plays pretty damn well. And Dmitry Kulikov, for whatever reason, has some silky. I mean, my God, he's got seven goals
this year.
He's a great
pickup. He was a great pickup. So Merrill has been really good, like a nice pickup, right? Like he's been
a
nice player.
I don't know if I go really good, but yeah, he's been solid.
But I mean, he's been a really good addition, I think. But sure. Yes, he's not a really good player. I'm sorry if you thought I meant that. But he's been a really good, like, addition, locker room guy, and I think he's done a nice job. But, yeah, he's not a really good player. Kulikov is far better than I expected.
Yeah.
And I would put him in the bin for sure, way above Ben, but above Merrill, too. Like, I think he's just been a damn good signing.
On the pecking order, like, right, of those defensemen, he's above both of them.
100%.
If we're going to do, which we might be able to do a pecking order on Mackie and Judd maybe later this week.
I agree with you.
But yeah, Kulikov too. I mean, he's signed through 2023 at $2.5 million per. And I mean, yeah, he's having a career season basically. And you know, you kind of forget this guy's been in the league for 11 years. He came up as a 20-year-old and played in 68 games as a 19-year-old, with the Panthers in 2009-10. And has been a pretty solid player, but I mean, he's setting career highs. He's probably going to set his career high for points. His previous high was 28 when he was a 21-year-old over 10 years ago. He has 7 goals. He had no goals last season at all. He had just 2 goals going back to 2018. So, I mean, he's really found.
I didn't realize that. Wow.
He scored 0 goals in 2019 for Winnipeg.
Wow.
In 2019-20, he had 2 goals, and then he bounced between New Jersey and Edmonton last year in 48 games, 0 goals. So, is he playing a little bit out of his skis a little bit? Maybe. But I also think just the way he plays, it looks solid. And who would have thought, too, yeah, that he's a, and I know it's 3-on-3, but he's the one and lone in front. Like, oh, God, Kulikov, does he have the mitts to do it? Yes, he
does. He's got some skills.
Yeah, he does.
That's what surprised me.
Yeah.
That's what completely, because the one game, when they had an overabundance of defensemen and they started to scratch him, he was the one that really surprised me.
Yeah, I was surprised by that, too.
And I also feel like at times that Goligoski's playing now where Kulikov should. Like, I know, if ever there has been a signature lesson about the old plus minus stat,
yeah,
it's Goose, right?
Yeah.
He's been okay, but I watch Kulikov play, and I'm not sure about you. I'm far more impressed with what he brings right now. I mean, Goligoski to me looks worn down.
Yeah.
I think they've asked too much.
Yeah, yeah. That's probably fair.
Kulikov to me looks like, oh, no, hell yeah, he's been good. So, yeah, he has been. You're right. If you went through the order there, if you went through Kulikov, Merrill, Ben, Middleton, who got picked up.
Let's start at the top, though, right? Like, let's say everyone's healthy right now. So, Spurgeon as one.
Oh, you're saying the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm saying the whole thing. But yeah,
I was going through pickups.
But I know what you mean, though. But just in terms of let's do like an impromptu one. Like, it'd be Spurgeon, obviously, one.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Brodin, 2.
Mm-hmm.
Would you put Middleton 3 right now? Or would you put Dumba if he was healthy?
I'd put Middleton 3 right now. Okay. I'd put Dumba after 4. Him.
Okay, yeah. So now where do we go at 5? Do we put Kulikov at 5?
I think it'd be Kulikov, yeah. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Yes. Yeah, I think it'd be Kulikov at 5.
Spurgeon, Brodin, 1-2, no problem.
Yeah.
That's not debatable.
Zero debate.
And then, yeah, I mean, I think pedigree-wise and just, like, I want to give it to Dumba just because he's been around a little bit more. And Middleton, although it's played very well, I would put Dumba 3, Middleton 4.
Middleton shocked me.
Probably Kulikov 5. Yeah, and Middleton's been
Middleton
great.
Has shocked me.
Yes.
You talk about the Midas touch, Bill Guerin. This might be, this is one of, it's not the best because I've seen guys, or I saw the Twins in 87 and 91 win World Series. But this is one of the best GM years I've seen.
Yeah, man.
Like, it's off the charts.
Yep.
It's off the charts. All right, before we get to what was the bad news, let's talk about Mom's Day, Declan Goff, and our friends at Spiral Light Candles, because, yes, that's right, Mother's Day is approaching May 8th, and guys out there in Judd's Hockey Show world right now, you're saying, I got to get a gift, don't I? I got to do something. Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? You know what? A card doesn't cut it. And you're right about that, but I'll tell you right now what does. For mom or for your wife, Spiral Light Candles, which are outstanding. They make the entire house smell great. They're very cool because they burn down in a very cool way.
It's very unique. I like it.
It's unique. They're very nice. And here's the best part, guys. Prices start at $14 and orders of $50 or more ship for free. Visit SpiralLightCandles.com. SpiralLightCandles.com. Mom or your wife will love it. I'm going to tell you right now what the Wild does not like. And this is a league-wide problem too, Dex. So this is not a woe is the Wild problem. The injury list.
Yeah.
Ovechkin got hurt for the Capitals last night. Now, he might be okay, but it's still scary.
Sure.
Bunting for the Maple Leafs got hurt on Saturday. We've got goaltender problem. Carolina's lost right now. Carolina's going to, I believe, very possibly start the playoffs with their top two goaltenders out. Ranta got hurt last night. Frederick Anderson got hurt last week. Pittsburgh's without Jari. So this is not a problem that is just confined to the Minnesota Wild. But Spurgeon suffers what was clearly an upper body injury last night. Zuccarello was hurt against Seattle on Friday. Now, I think that is more just precautionary. I think there's genuine concern about Spurgeon. I don't know if it's a shoulder or concussion, But I think that's more concerning than Matt's is. Dumba has missed 10 games. And I saw, I don't know if you saw this or floating around Twitter or not, Dex, but somebody puts on Twitter Dumba in practice last week trying to shoot. He can't shoot. He's got no shot, which means that he hurt his shoulder for sure, which we thought it's a shoulder or something in the arm. Foligno supposed to be back on Tuesday from COVID protocol. Greenway has missed 7 consecutive games. And I think before the game on Sunday, Dean Evason was expressing hope that Zuccarello, Dumba, and Greenway would get in at least one game this week before the playoffs start. But let's start with Spurgeon, because there's no getting around this one. If you don't have him in the playoffs or for the series against the Blues.
Yeah.
Brodin's a really great, he's a great player. So I am totally confident there. But my concern is, as high as I've been, Dex, on a lot of the defensemen who have joined the team this year, or just overall how guys have been playing, having to bump some guys up because Spurgeon's out, I don't see a good way to sugarcoat that one. I don't see a way to get around to say, it's going to be fine, Spurgeon's out. That's one I don't know. It's a definite hit. I guess my only question is how big of a hit. And if it's a concussion or a slight concussion, he could probably come back within a couple of weeks or a week.
Yeah.
If it's a shoulder, we're talking probably a series, if not more. And of all the people you can't afford to lose, I would put him, top three?
He's number one. No, he's number one. I'm sorry. In terms of the players that are hurt right now, so let's just include
Players. But I'm saying like the Kaprizovs, Fialas.
Yeah, after those two, you could probably make a case he might be the third most important
player.
That's
what I'm saying, yeah. No. Top three for sure, top five without a question.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, in terms of the players that are missing right now, so Spurgeon, Greenway, Dumba, of those three, he's by far his presence not being on the ice would be the biggest that you would be missing, right? Like his would be the one that would concern you to a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to rest him because the Wild necessarily are trying to still get the home ice advantage, but I think you might have to. And if the way that guys like Kulikov and Middleton are playing, and I know Goligoski and Ben are almost liabilities of this rate, I mean, I'm kind of tempted to rest him up.
Spurgeon?
Yeah.
I don't think he can play, dude.
Yeah.
No, I think he's out for a while.
You think he's gone out for a long time?
If this is a shoulder, he's out for an extended period. I'm not talking about resting him. I'm talking for making plans to play the Blues without him completely. That's where I'm really worried about this.
Yeah, and the playoffs start a week from today as we're recording this, basically. And
concussion, I think he can come back.
Yeah, and I'm also assuming the Wild are going to be on the Monday slate of games. I don't know how they'll divvy up that schedule. We'll figure that out here in the coming days. But
sure.
At this rate, if you're without him, I mean, that's a humongous blow. Like that, especially if you're, and then look, Dumba can't play either. And if I can't have one or the other, I mean, then the Wild would look really, really thin at the blue line. And also last night, I mean, Flower was as bad as he has been in his Wild tenure last night. He was flopping all over the place, and he's a kind of a flamboyant and goaltender who flails around like that. So that's nothing new from him. But you're also seeing what it's like when you don't have Spurgeon out there, who only played, I think, like 3 minutes before he went down the tunnel. You're without Dumba. And even guys like Middleton and Kulikov, who I like, eventually good teams like St. Louis and good playoff teams in general, Colorado, they're going to attack that. So you need one of those two back by the time playoff rolls around, and hopefully it's not a long-term injury. But at this rate, yeah, I would rest Spurgeon. I'd rest Dumba. I don't think you have to go into the playoffs with those guys at least at some form of like 75 to 90%.
I think there's a very good chance that you are going to start the playoffs and be without Spurgeon well into the Blues series, if not beyond, possibly, which is a massive problem. Again, if it's a shoulder, he's out. I think that there's a chance that they will try and play Dumba, but I'm going to tell you from what I saw, the shot is not there. So, like, he can try and play, but it's going to be through pain, which guys play through. The problem, I think the question is this. You can play through pain. How much does the pain affect you? And if Dumba can't shoot, a large part of what makes him himself
right.
goes away.
Yes.
And so I think you're looking at a possibility of starting the playoffs next week against the Blues with Middleton and Brodin as your top pairing. And look, Jake has been a godsend. I mean, he's been absolutely, I'm shocked. He's been fantastic. That being said, you're going to be asking, it's not those two I'm concerned about. It's bumping people up now. And what Spurgeon brings is going to be gone. And Spurgeon, the thing about him is, even when he's not like playing lights out, he brings intangibles and abilities that are off the charts. I would say the two guys on the blue line of this team that just bring things that you can't replace are Jarrett Spurgeon and Brodin. I mean, Brodin made a play against Forsberg last night. I don't know if you saw it. I think it was in the second period where Fiala gives up the puck at the blue line, which he tends at times to do. I'm not quite sure why, but he does. And Forsberg broke away. Brodin caught him and just sort of tapped the puck away. Like, here you go, kid. I mean, this is Philip Forsberg.
Yeah.
It's an unbelievable play. The majority of guys would have freaked out and been like, I am screwed. I'm going to have to chase this guy. So those are the two guys that, I mean, if you don't have Brodin, which thankfully right now you do, or Spurgeon, I don't know how you sort of game plan around that. And that is a big thing. But again, my point is, this is the thing. And once the playoffs start, you're going to have more guys get hurt or be curtailed. So on Fleury, I want to talk about the potential concern there, or not concern. But before I do, I want to tell you, if you're concerned about your weight, I want you to follow the Judd plan. And what right now you're saying, what's the Judd plan?
What the hell is the Judd plan?
I'm going to tell you, the Judd plan is not really the Judd plan. It is the plan from my friends at Livia Weight Control Centers, who have helped me drop right around 40 pounds. I'm feeling great. My clothes fit. It's been a fantastic journey. The weight loss was actually, you know what, as simple as I have had, because the plan is clear cut. The coaches, the dietitians are fantastic. And now the best part, they're helping me keep the weight off, which is the key part of the plan. We've all lost weight. And in my case, I've almost always gained that weight back. The simple start plan, only $59, one-on-one personalized and guided support online or in person from Livia's team of experts. You can go to Livia.com or call 855 go Livia, Livia.com, Livia.com. Again, $59. If you are inside the state, go see them. It's fantastic. If you're not, though, virtual consultations, Livia.com, Livia is the way to get started and do what I did. And I'm going to tell you right now, if I can drop the weight, so can you. All right, Marc-Andre Fleury, I've got two thoughts here. One is, I agree with what you said. I'm somewhat concerned about what we've seen. He's not a young guy. I certainly still applaud the pickup. I think it was great.
Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, last night wasn't perfect.
Okay.
But I'm going to go in a positive place.
Okay.
I also think, so I don't believe a team, for the most part, is wise to flip a switch when the playoffs start. Like, I don't think that you can just rest guys and play crappy hockey. Like, the Avs might be fine, but they're really not playing well. And they got guys out. And I think it's hard to get them back for the playoffs and flip the switch. I think it's possible, and they certainly can. But where I really think guys can flip a switch is individually and especially in goal. So I guess my question to you is, how concerned are you by what you saw last night? Because I don't know that my concern is off the charts by any means. And I do think that Marc-Andre Fleury has the experience and has been here enough before that when the playoffs start, I don't know that a game like last night is going to be like premonition.
Sure.
Of what's to come.
Yeah. I know what you're saying.
Probably not the right word, but
yeah. You know. Look, he's been playing phenomenally since he got traded to the Wild. Just in general, too, he still has looked damn good. I know the GAA and save percentage are a little bit better than what it was in Chicago, but he's a playoff tested goaltender, and I'm not concerned about it one bit.
So you're not okay?
No, I'm not
okay.
I do think it's concerning that the defense has had these injuries, and eventually you would like to see your goaltender kind of rise up and make some big time saves. Last night, in my opinion, last night was as bad as I've seen him since he's gotten traded here. I just thought he was flopping all over the place.
I thought the loss in Nashville before was
the
like,
other one.
Yeah, I thought that was worse. But okay. I know what you're saying.
It certainly wasn't. And yeah. Look, there was posts, there was fluky ones. I think the one that did go off Kulikov or it went off a defenseman that
Dewar.
Bounced off Connor Dewar.
Yep, he tried to block it.
So like just fluky ones. And then he's an animated goaltender. So I think after the third one, he got pissed, and I don't think he broke his stick, but he certainly attempted to do so.
he loves to try and break his stick.
And in general, I'm not concerned about it. Look, I am still curious on who they go, because you could be making a case that, hey, if Cam Talbot gets on a roll here, are they actually going to start Talbot game one?
I got a thought about that.
Okay. But in general, I still think he'll get the benefit of the doubt, but I think it's getting closer, Judd, than like, I told you like 75 to 80% chance they would start Flower. I think I told you that a week ago, the last time we recorded. Now it is dwindling closer to a coin flip. I don't know who they're. I don't know who will indeed get the game one start.
All right, I'm going to give you a hot, reckless speculation take with no backup for it. So like, there's nothing. Okay. I haven't heard anything.
Reckless speculation.
But I'm just going through. I'm trying to get into the head of Dino because I think it's an interesting place. It's sort of like the head of Creed, right?
Yeah.
Because he looks like him.
Yes.
I think he's sort of a weird guy, and I say that with all due respect. Like, I like him a lot.
Yeah, he's a great coach.
But I think he's sort of like a weird guy, and let me throw this at you as a thought.
Okay.
What would you think if they start in St. Louis, and we still don't know?
Start in St. Louis.
So let's say they start in St. Louis.
Okay.
So they don't have home ice.
Okay.
Talbot has lost back-to-back overtime games there. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he's been great there. I mean, he's not been a train wreck, but he has not been great.
Yeah, they have his number.
Fleury starts. Okay. Veteran. They haven't seen
him.
It's on the road. You want.
I see what you're saying.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. I got to get a game there. Like, I got to do everything I can to pull the strings. I got to get a game.
Yeah, at least get a game. Right.
I got to get a game. But Fleury starts there.
Okay.
If they start here, Talbot starts.
Interesting.
This is completely spitball.
I like it.
I was driving here today.
Okay. I do this all the time.
And it hit me.
Yep.
So like this is, you could say, oh, that's bleeping crazy, Judd. And I'll be like, okay, yeah, you're probably right. But what do you think of that? Because, because Talbot's lost a couple games in St. Louis. I got to get a game there. Fleury's got the big game type of mentality.
I hear you.
Oh my thoughts. God.
I like it actually. Well, just in general, this is kind of a little bit of alarming. In three starts, I believe these are our three starts. It could be appearances, but yeah, three starts for Fleury against St. Louis this year. 0-1-2, 16 goals allowed. That is a GA, and now it's obviously skewed because it's only three starts, but that's a GA of 5.92 and a save percentage of 814. The Blues have his number. Regardless of three games or not, the Blues had his number.
Interesting.
No other team, only the Winnipeg Jets have scored more than double-digit goals against Cam Talbot this year. And I know a lot of the teams, the Wild player, mostly just in the division. But still, that is a stat. Another one that maybe is pro-Talbot at home. At home this year, Cam Talbot 17-4-2, 2.6 GA, 913 save percentage. He has a shutout. And his numbers are worse on the road. They are. They are.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're onto something. I do. I think there could be a case that they would make more sense to give the road game to a decorated Hall of Fame goaltender, even if he might not be playing as well as Cam Talbot by the time this regular season ends, right? Like Talbot's looked great.
Right. But the playoffs are another level up.
I'm
playing a gut here. Mm-hmm. Dex, to be very clear,
that's a gut thing.
I'm playing the gut.
Yep,
I'm not playing.
And that gut's smaller now, thanks to our friends at Livia.
Oh, thank you very much. But
yeah, I this makes some sense. I can see where you're coming from here. I would lean into your decision making there.
Okay, and like I said, this came to me while I was driving.
Total gut feeling.
All right, before we get to our last topic, I'm going to tell you what makes sense every day.
What's that, Chuck?
If you're thirsty for a beer.
Mm-hmm.
And like there's no rotation here unless you're talking about the beers in the Surly Brewing family, Declan Goff. Because Surly, and in particular for Judd, the official Surly beer of JHS, Surly Furious, But as Declan can attest to, Surly has, they've got lines, they've got defensive pairings, they've got goaltenders. Like, what doesn't, if you were to draft the Surly team, like you were to draft, you know, Drips and Drops, Furious, Hyper Modern 7, IPA, 7, excuse me. Like, what wouldn't you draft?
Yeah, it's a 200-foot game with Surly Brewing, Judd. 200-foot game. They play a defensive game. They play an offensive game. They're penalty kill specialists. They're power play specialists. There's nothing that they really can't do. They play all over the ice. And yeah, Drips and Drops is up there. My Grapefruit Supreme is certainly up there. I'm a God willing, it's going to get warm in Minnesota at some point.
No, don't worry about it. It's not going to
And even, you know what? A nice little Surly hell. They want something, because I think sometimes people with breweries and with beers, well, I don't want an IPA, right? I don't want something heavy. A Surly hell, it's refreshing. It's light. It's crisp. It's great beer.
Yes, that's very true.
It's great beer.
It's fantastic.
200-foot game.
So, yes, exactly right. The star of any game is all of the beers from Surly Brewing. Check them out if you have not. And if you have, as Declan likes to say,
show us your cans. Show us your taps.
Show us your taps. Exactly right. All right, last topic.
Yes, sir.
Appreciation. Kirill Kaprizov against the Kraken on Friday. He scored his 45th goal of the season. So with three games left, he is five away from the magic number of 50. Last night, a couple of assists. He's up to 58. Meanwhile, Kevin Fiala scores a second period goal last night that is absolutely off the charts. Incredible.
Yeah,
10-game point streak. He now has 10 goals and 23 points. Just an appreciation.
Yeah.
Just an appreciation. Do you know, and you know, God bless him. The Wild has had a long list of guys who have worked hard, right? Tried hard. A long list of guys who aren't. Trying is hard too, but not right now. But how much fun does it make it when you can watch this talent?
Yeah, no, absolutely. This is so sad, but this is like the best 1-2 combo that I can remember, as in, you know, Kaprizov Fiala since like Gabrick Rolston. And it's not close.
Say it.
It's not
say
close.
It. You're 29.
It's the best Wild team. It's the best Wild team I've ever seen. It's the most talented Wild team I've ever seen.
But the combination, like, you're seeing what I mean, I got to go back to Cicerelli and Broughton. I got it. Yes. Yeah. I got the Wolves towel, but I'm going to wave it. Damn it. I'm going to wave it. I'm waving it. The Wild flag's at home. Yeah, it's not even, I mean, like, don't even say that. Don't even, I mean, God bless Brian Ralston. I loved him.
Me too.
Good guy, real good guy. But don't even say his name. Like, this is it, Declan. You're almost 30.
Yeah.
You've never seen anything like this. Fiala scored a goal last night that we didn't see for 20 years.
Yeah, I know. Oh, that guy.
And here's the thing, too. Last point. Have you noticed how much now, and I think it's because of Kirill, he changes his angle skating.
Yeah. And where...
And by the way, we did not see that consistently until, I don't think, this season.
And just the way he goes about things, like, Fiala can score a goal almost from anywhere he wants. You know, like,
I know.
That's what is so impressive to me. He can literally score any goal he wants.
And you said Brian Ralston's name.
I know what I said.
All right, we got to go.
We have to leave.
But before we go, I want to hear from somebody. I'm trying to think of their name. How about GMBG?
Listen, you guys know what this is all about, right? Right? What's it all about? Spurgy?
Hard work, man, and fun.
F*** that. This is about f***ing winning.